This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News with Libby Collins.
Well, it's beginning to feel a lot like spring. And, of course, one of the indications is, did you spring ahead last night? Did you set your clock 1 hour ahead? Because, Adam, here we are, 8:08 in the morning, and it doesn't quite feel like it to our dogs, does it?
No, it does not. My corgi Nico was eyeing me very peculiarly when I woke up this morning and said, it's time to go out. She's like, no, it's not.
Yep. No, our dog, Amigo, he was very confused. Usually he gets up at 5 o'clock, and this morning he got up at 6. So he gets up when his tummy says it's time. But again, if you did not set your clocks ahead last night, it is 8:09, so you want to make sure you do that. And especially, oh gosh, you know what, Adam? The thing I hate doing is trying to figure out how to set my clock in the car, because I only do it every 6 months, and I always forget how to do it.
Tale
and it takes me about
time.
A day and a half.
That's the beauty of not owning a car anymore, and also owning an iPhone. I never have to worry about this day. It comes and goes, and the only thing I notice is I'm a little groggier when I wake up.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, there is a very important story that I wanted to ask you about, and you included it in this newscast, and that was this very tragic crash in Clark County on Friday. As you said, the second worst crash ever in the state of Wisconsin. But, you know, I was listening to the voice you played from the sheriff, and they indicated the survivor is, and I believe the quote was, missing his mom. Are we to assume that was a child then is the only survivor of that?
I would say it's a little still early to say. I want to get official information from Clark County, but there is a GoFundMe set up for the families of the victims of the crash. And that person you heard in the news, his name is Alan Gross. Family friend of the survivor is how they're being identified. And they are the ones running that GoFundMe right now as well.
So what else do we know? 9 people dead. So, and was it a family or what are we talking about here?
So right now it appears as though of the 9 that are dead, one of them was the driver of a semi-truck tractor trailer on Highway 95 early morning hours of Friday. The 8 other people who died were all in a van that was driving on County Highway J in that area. It's northeast of Black River Falls. TMJ4 News, they talked with the driver of the van's ex-wife. Her name's Lavada Stout, and she says that the man who drove the van regularly was providing rides for members of the Amish community from Berks Garden, Virginia.
Your heart sinks. You know, you just don't know how to act, or, you know, you don't know how to take it, or if any of them suffered before they died.
So we're still working to identify the victims of the crash, as well as the identity and age of the sole survivor.
Again, it's such a sad, tragic story. And I know you're on top of it, Adam. And if you hear anything this morning, please share that with you. We do have a very busy show ahead on this day that we sprung ahead. One of the Celtic tenors appearing at the Irish Cultural Heritage Center tonight is going to be joining us in about an hour. Also, you've heard about these professional bull riders at Pfizer Forum this weekend. Well, we're going to hear once again from John Krimper. He is on his way to become the youngest bull riding champion in history. Plus, we were talking about those dogs waking up early this morning. Well, remember all those people who adopted puppies during the pandemic? Well, just as predicted, many of these dogs are now being returned to shelters, and we're going to find out why. We'll also hear about the most impersonated businesses trying to scam you. That's from the Better Business Bureau. And you may be asking, you know, we're hearing so much about the RNC. Well, where in Milwaukee will the presumed Republican presidential candidate be staying? It looks like hereafter Super Tuesday, it will be former President Trump. And Mark Cass from the Milwaukee Journal is going to speculate on where the president might be basing his operations, or I should say the former president. It's also a big night in Hollywood, and Matt Miller's going to join us. He gives his Oscar predictions. Also, our consumer our expert, Michelle Reinen, is going to share some spring break travel trips. Yep, a lot of people getting on the road, headed to the beaches. We're also going to look back at the week in review. Isaac, of course, is here pushing those buttons. Adam Roberts, as you just heard, is in the newsroom. And in just 2 minutes, it's Brandon Snide with sports. And as we were talking just a few minutes ago, it's going to be a pretty nice day today. Those temperatures definitely warming up, feeling more and more like spring. A high of 46 under sunny skies, and 29 degrees at 8:13 on WTMJ. And remember, did you set your clocks forward last night? Well, I hope you did. Coming up next, it's sports.
The temperatures outside may not be heating up just yet, but Brewers baseball certainly is out in Arizona. The Crew playing two spring training games on Saturday afternoon, and, well, they fell both times. The first game, losing to the Oakland Athletics, this one by a final score of 4-2. Evan McKendry taking the loss for the Crew. Later in the day, the Brewers also fall into the Seattle Mariners, this one by a final of 7-6. Freddy Peralta, who got the start in this one, struggled a bit, to say the least, surrendering 5 earned runs and 7 hits over just 2 2/3 innings. The good news for the Brew Crew, they'll be right back out on the field later this afternoon against Colorado to avenge a pair of losses from Saturday. That first pitch is set for later this afternoon at 3:10. Over to college hoops, where the 8th-ranked Marquette Golden Eagles ended their season with a victory, knocking off Xavier by a final of 86-80.
Marquette up 2 with the ball. Joplin backing in against Green. Back out Cam Jones. Wide open three. Pure. Give David Joplin an assist and a half. What do you think?
Yeah, Joplin was backing down the smaller guy. They had to come give him a look and double. He did the right thing there.
Homer and Tony Smith on the call for 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee as Cam Jones had the bucket there. He also led the team in scoring with 30 points, 5 assists, and 9 rebounds. Not a bad day at the office for Mr. Jones. Up next for Marquette, though, they'll need more of that. They'll get the Big East tournament rolling on Thursday. And lastly, the 41-23 Milwaukee Bucks will look to bounce back after their final second loss to the Lakers on Friday night. Giannis and the Deer will be in search for win number 1 on this West Coast road trip. Currently 0-2, they get set to play the Clippers in Los Angeles this afternoon. Tip-off is set for 2 p.m. Giannis has been listed as a game-time decision. I'm Brandon Snide, WTMJ Sports.
Thanks a lot, Brandon. It's 8:17, and we have 29 degrees at WTMJ. We're going to have your forecast, and also coming up, we've got Mark Cass. And where do you think the headquarters for the presumed presidential candidate is going to be in Milwaukee during the RNC? Well, he's going to speculate. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. Well, welcome back to spring. It's going to be sunny and breezy today with a high of 46. Tonight, clear, down to 30. Tomorrow looks mostly sunny, breezy, and mild, all the way up to 61 degrees. On Tuesday, it'll be a little bit cloudy, but we're going to have 64 for a high. Wednesday, still pretty mild under mainly cloudy skies, cooler by the lake, a high of 53. But if you go inland, it's going to be closer to the low 60s. And then Thursday, cooling down just a little bit with rain likely and a high of 44. Right now, Cedarburg is 29 degrees. Oak Creek's at 28. Brookfield is 28. And Milwaukee is 30 degrees at 8:20 on WTMJ. It's time to check in with Mark Cass, editor-in-chief of the Milwaukee Business Journal. And lots to talk about this week, Mark. Let's start with Summerfest. There was a report they released the other day about the 3-week schedule. Is it working?
You know, the economic impact was looked at this and found it to be about $160 million. And when you look at it per day, because of fewer days than in the past, it is comparable. It is actually a little bit up over the pre-days when they went 11 straight. So I think what they're saying is, yes, it is an impact. And it makes sense if you think about it. Like, if you get more weekends, you got the opportunity for others to either drive here, fly here, spend the weekend in the hotel, eat in our restaurants, to be more active in the city as compared to earlier in the week, whether it's, you know, so I think that's worked for them. You know, I get asked all the time, is this going to be long term? I think it is. I think this is the new model. I mean, it's obviously worked for them. It's worked for them in terms of attendance has come back. It works for them in terms of how they schedule the more high profile bands. So I think they'd like it. Things can always change, of course, but I think the economic impact shows it is working right now.
Well, the other big party happening this summer is going to be the RNC. We're already seeing that some of the venues and restaurants and bars are getting booked. Do you think this is going to pick up more? Or, I mean, is everybody booked up during the big event?
Yeah, not yet. It's been slow. It's been slower. I think people are a little surprised at how slow it's been as compared to 2020. Maybe there's some hesitancy out there. Maybe they're waiting to see how the nomination worked out. But, you know, we're starting to see some movement. We heard this week a couple of the bars and restaurants around the arena have gotten it booked up. Others are expected to be soon. I think we'll start to hear in the next few weeks where some of the major media networks are going to be, where CNN's going to be, where the Fox is going to be, where ABC's going to be, which are big deals because of the live remotes that happen there. So, yes, I think April, May, June is going to be very, very active around here. We're still waiting on some of the contracts. And the momentum is going to really start to happen because, you know, Libby, it's not that far away. You're talking only 3 or 4 months away. Activity is really going to ramp up. They have a nominee now. So it's going to be real interesting to watch next few weeks as this thing plays out because it's going to be huge for the city, and now's the time.
Are all the hotels already booked for that?
The majority of them will be booked through the RNC. They will have the, you know, either have a specific state that's going to be with them or whether it's high-level people and all that. So, yes, I think it's all the way up to Sheboygan, all the way to Madison, all the way to Kenosha, but only in Wisconsin as compared to 2020 when it went all the way to O'Hare. So much more of an economic impact here in Wisconsin as compared to with our friends in Illinois.
What about the presumed nominee, former President Trump? Any word on where he is going to headquarter for that week?
I would be shocked if it wasn't the Trade because you're right across the street from the arena. I'll give you three probably. The Trade really makes the most sense because of its location. It also has that huge suite. So I think that's the most obvious place. If not, then go to the Pfister, where a lot of high-level presidents stay. Or maybe someplace in the Third Ward for the Journeyman. Those are the three high-level hotels we have in the city. But if I had to say where I think it's going to be, it would be the Trade, because he can literally walk across the street, right?
And he just might. You never know what he's going to do. Well, it's going to be interesting the week of the RNC, because anybody who works downtown, us included, it's going to be interesting getting in to where we need to be. And now you've got U.S. Bank employees. They've all been ordered back to the office. Why did they do that? And are most downtown businesses saying, okay, you're going to come back down here to work?
Yeah, you're seeing more and more of this. I think most companies that I talk to, it's 3 or 4 days a week. So here, if you have a large national here ordering its employees back, they've been flexible with them. I think people are seeing now we need more collaboration in the office. We need more people working together. We need more interaction. So I think you're seeing it more and more. What I don't see is anybody ever ordering them to work every day in the office as we had pre-2020. I talked to many CEOs. I mean, it's hard for them, but on the Fridays, it's just hard to have employees in the office. Employees will not come in the office, though. I would be shocked if it went all the way back. There's no doubt as you wander out over lunch hour with the traffic in the downtown, there are more employees back, but it'll never be the same as it was pre-2020.
And speaking of employees downtown, Fiserv has finally opened their headquarters. How many employees do they have? And are most of them going to be in the office? And what's it going to do for that area of downtown?
Yeah, that's great for you guys. Think about the food hall. Think about what's going on right in your building next door, right above the Kohl's store that just opened, adding 800 employees right there in beautiful headquarters in the heart of downtown. And as part of their agreement with the city, is a mandate that 60% of their employees have to be in the office. So yes, they will be there. The whole point of that office is to have them be in the downtown, to interact with the food hall, to interact with the MSO, to walk the streets, to be active. That was a big draw for them, and the city really wanted that. So yeah, what it means for that area, how many times we talked about this? I mean, the west area on Wisconsin Avenue is the hottest area right now in the region. So much going on. Food hall, MSO, Milwaukee Tool, the convention center expansion, everything that's going on there, it's become the hot place. 8 or 9 years ago, it was virtually empty. Now it's incredibly active. It's the energy and just really good to see. And I think you'll see more in that area with the convention hotel, hopefully on 4th and Wisconsin at some point, and then with what's going on over on 6th and Michigan with the Iron District. So lots going on in that area.
All right. Another area where lots going on is the East Side. We've heard about plans for the Downer Theater to reopen.
Yeah.
Who's behind it? And what are the plans?
Kind of nice, isn't it? I know when that closed last fall, there was a lot of people who were unhappy. Oldest running theater in the Milwaukee area, a lot of history. People love going there. Closed, unfortunately. And now it's going to be run by the same group that's running the Oriental Milwaukee Film. They're going to start with their film festival in a couple weeks and then start to run it as a regular theater. Good news for the region, good news for the area with the Oriental and the Downer. There's just so much history there, Libby. And to have those theaters open again, and, you know, it's hard enough for these theaters to kind of operate after 2020 with COVID. Now to see these theaters that have history, to really have some of a character, is great for the city, and I think they're going to do very well kind of long-term as people hopefully return to the theater.
Well, it's always great to have you return to Wisconsin Weekend Morning News, Mark. Thanks for joining us this morning.
You are all about the transitions. I love that. You are the best at that.
Have a great week, Mark.
Always good to talk to you, and I'll talk to you next week, maybe.
It is 8:26. Yes, it's 8:26, not 7:26, because you had to remember to move your clocks ahead. So, you know, get in the kitchen, get in all those rooms this morning where you don't usually set your clock ahead, and make sure you do. Again, 8:26 right now and 30 degrees at WTMJ. And welcome back to Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. I'm Libby Collins. It's 8:35. Oh, in about a half an hour, we're going to hear from one of the Celtic tenors who's appearing tonight here in Milwaukee. But before we do anything else, oh, by the way, I hope you did turn your clocks forward last night. We're going to be addressing the state of Milwaukee and the nation. Plus, there was a Green Bay professor who won big, and we looked out for those falling wheels, and there was so much more. It's the Week in Review, brought to you by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
What we do here is go back.
I'm a huge proponent of growth. I call the effort Growing Milwaukee.
Mayor Cavalier Johnson expressing continued confidence in Milwaukee during the annual State of the City address.
I'm set to be our city's most vocal promoter.
Please clap.
Guess what? I'm a Clippers fan.
Ahead for Lillard. He takes it right at George. Lays it in. Off the window, and the Bucks have reclaimed the lead.
Guess what?
Fear the deer.
The Supreme Court has decided Donald Trump can appear on Colorado's primary ballot.
I think it's a very big day for America.
Today is Super Tuesday.
President Biden and former President Donald Trump are hoping to amass a string of lopsided victories.
Boat race.
Nikki Haley is dropping out of the presidential race after losing to former President Trump in all but one Super Tuesday contest.
Absolutely boat race.
I congratulate him and wish him well. I wish anyone well who would be America's president.
I'm sad to say I'm out.
Powerfully snowplowed.
A Milwaukee County Jail correctional sergeant in stable condition after being attacked near the jail early this morning.
41-year-old Ronell Hart stabbed the officer as the officer exited a parking structure. The guard suffered a punctured lung but is expected to survive.
There is fresh news to share about the recently closed Downer Theater, and it's good news.
As of today, we've announced that Milwaukee Film will be taking over operation at the Downer.
Interim CEO Ann Reed joins us live in the studio.
It was important because you just could not let it stay closed.
We do have some breaking news right now out of Waukesha. A dump truck is slammed into a school bus.
Preliminary reports indicate no major injuries. There were 34 kids on the bus.
Vice President Kamala Harris making a stop in the state capitol today.
The work that is happening here really is a wonderful example of so many of our administration's priorities.
At least we know that these trains that had already been built and paid for that were supposed to be between Madison and Milwaukee found a good home. Nigeria.
Dear esteemed Governor Tony Evers, my name is Prince Talgo, heir to the royal throne of Nigeria. I am reaching out to you with a lucrative business proposal.
It's a horrible deal.
A WTMJ exclusive. U.S. Congressman Mike Gallagher is with us. Why the decision not to run for re-election?
This was never going to be a long-term career. I always sort of had in the back of my mind 8 to 12 years. What does Tausch know about the Packers?
Exactly.
Come on. I should have been the defensive coordinator. All I do is defense.
Very funny.
Man from Green Bay advancing in the Tournament of Champion Finals on Jeopardy.
There's a lot of luck involved, really. You know, that was actually a good board for me in tonight's game.
The U.S. Department of Justice investigates alleged conspiracy at the Waupun Correctional Institution. The probe into smuggling contraband into the prison resulted in the suspension of nearly a dozen employees.
A Boeing 777 losing a wheel shortly after takeoff.
Oh boy, that is crazy.
Makes you nervous about someone's not looking at moving parts on a plane before takeoff.
I picked the wrong week. Quit sniffing glue.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
The toughest set of border security reforms we've ever seen. Oh, you don't think so? Oh, you don't like that bill, huh?
So sassy!
The renowned creator of the popular Japanese animated series Dragon Ball Z has passed away. Sources indicate Akira Toriyama died of acute subdural hematoma. Toriyama was 68 years old.
I loved every minute. Goodbye, my friend.
What a week.
Lincoln Riley.
Low AF.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
And the Week in Review is sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. It's 8:40 on WTMJ. We have 30 degrees. We'll have your forecast, and also coming up, if you are packing those bags and getting ready to go on a spring break, well, we've got some travel tips for you. It's all ahead of Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. It's beginning to feel a lot like spring. It's going to be sunny and breezy today with a high of 46. Tonight, clear down to 30. Tomorrow looks really nice. Mostly sunny, breezy, and mild. 61 for a high. And on Tuesday, all the way up to 64, but a few clouds are going to roll in. Right now, Port Washington has 30 degrees. Richfield's at 26. Franklin has 29. We have 30 degrees at WTMJ at 8:43. A lot of people are packing those suitcases and getting ready for those spring break trips. And joining us is Michelle Reinen, our consumer protection advocate from DATCAP. And Michelle, what are things people should do before they leave on spring break?
Well, one of the most important things you can do before you leave is verify your arrangements. Before that trip begins, call the businesses where you've done reservations and confirm that your reservation exists and that it entered into the system, especially if you've used any type of third-party booking platform. And then when you get there, or even ahead of time, ask about any mandatory resort fees. These could be those extra charges that are added onto your room for different amenities, maybe even the pool or other offerings that they have, spa services that you may not use while you're there. So be sure you understand what your full cost will be for lodging so you don't have any surprises and frustrations at the end of the day. And we talk about this all the time with consumer protection. Put details in writing. Get confirmations via email or whatever form in writing, and be sure that you take copies of those with you, even if they're electronic copies, so you have the information to refer to at the time of payment.
And then what about taking things with you when you're going on a trip?
Yeah, clean out your wallet. Remove those unnecessary cards and documents in case you lose that wallet or it is stolen from you. You don't want your Social Security card in there, and you're not going to need it when you're on vacation because you won't be applying for a job or any other type situation. So get that out of there. And then keep that credit card in the wallet because we encourage you to use credit cards to pay for items while you are on vacation, because you will get that additional federal protection should something not result as it is represented, and you will be able to dispute those charges.
Finally, a lot of people use things like Airbnb and other online rental properties. Are you getting a lot of complaints about that?
We do get complaints about those private rental properties that are booked online marketplaces, and sometimes those platforms are Airbnb and Vrbo. So be cautious of scammers who post that appealing ad, but realize that it could be a fake listing just to entice those vacationers that are out there. Verify that the actual location address exists by using Google Maps and see that it's not a parking lot someplace with an impersonated photo, and just do all the confirmation of details by Googling that address again and the phone number, and look for duplicate listings on multiple platforms just so you're confident that when you arrive, it'll be as presented to you in the ad.
And in case you think maybe you're being taken advantage of, how do we reach you?
You can call the Consumer Protection Hotline at 1-800-422-7128 or go to our website at datcp.wi.gov.
It's 8:46. You're 1 minute away from sports on WTMJ.
After falling to the Lakers in the final seconds on Friday night, the Milwaukee Bucks will look to get back into the win column, and for the first time on this road trip. And the good news is they don't have to go far to try and do so. Damian Lillard and the Bucks are staying in L.A. as they get set to play the Clippers later this afternoon. Tip-off is set for 2 p.m. Coverage will begin right here on WTMJ starting at 1:30. Giannis has been listed as a game-time decision. However, Chris Middleton has already been ruled out for today's game with the sprained ankle. From L.A. to Phoenix, Arizona, as the Milwaukee Brewers continue on with their spring training Saturday afternoon. The Crew played a set of split squad games, losing both. The Brewers fell to Oakland in game one by a final score of 4-2, and also dropped their second game, this one to Seattle, by a final of 7-6. Freddy Peralta getting the start in that one. He gave up 5 earned runs over just 2 2/3 innings. Milwaukee will be back out on the field later this afternoon as they get set to play Colorado. That first pitch all set for 3:10. And lastly, from a pair of losing efforts on the baseball diamond by the Brewers, well, to a winner on the court as the 8th-ranked Marquette Golden Eagles capped off their regular season with a win on the road, knocking off Xavier by a final of 86-80.
Oso under the basket. He's got the reverse layup. Good! Counted it a foul. Oh, so big. Oh, so special. And oh, so easy. He'll try the three-point play from the free throw line. More.
Homer and Tony Smith with the call on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Oso Iguodaro with the and one there. He finished the night with 24 points. And Cam Jones led the way with 30. Up next for the 8th-ranked Golden Eagles is the Big East Tournament play, which will get started on Thursday. I'm Brandon Snide, WTMJ Sports.
Thanks a lot, Brandon. It's 848, 30 degrees at WTMJ. Who's going to win tonight in Hollywood? Well, Matt Miller will tell you next. It's Hollywood's big night, so it's time to check in with media critic and pop culture editor at onmilwaukee.com, Matt Miller. And okay, Matt, big question. How many Oscars will Oppenheimer win?
Ooh, boy, it's going to be a lot. If you're taking a shot for every time Oppenheimer gets on stage, I don't think you're going to remember who wins Best Picture the next morning. But yeah, it's going to be a big night for Oppenheimer across the board. It's going to win a lot of the major prizes. I have it winning Best Picture. I have it definitely winning Best Director. I think this is going to kind of be Christopher Nolan's big official. Obviously, he's been one of the biggest directors in Hollywood for years. But this is kind of the big crowning moment. This is when you get to officially join the Spielbergs and the Scorseses of the world when you get crowned with Best Director. He's going to win that. Robert Downey Jr., I think, is going to win the Supporting Actor. Cillian Murphy with Actor. And then I think they're going to win a bunch of technical awards, too, like sound and score. So I think it's going to be up there around 8 or 9 for wow. Oppenheimer. Yeah, it was a big movie. It did great at the box office, and now it's going to take a final bow.
Well, it sounds like it might even reach some of the accolades of some of the biggest pictures to ever win Oscars, according to your predictions. I mean, if you're talking 8 or 9 Oscars, what's the record? Is it like 11 or something? 10 or 11?
I believe Titanic is still the record holder for most Oscars won.
Okay, so you've predicted Best Picture. You've predicted Best Director, Actor. Let's go to Best Actress. Who do you think that'll be?
Yeah, first of all, it is 11, tied with Titanic, Ben-Hur, and Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. So okay. I don't think it'll break that record, but it'll definitely it's gonna come away with a hefty wheelbarrow full of gold. Actress is kind of one of the most interesting categories of the night because this is one that's still up in the air. Emma Stone won a bunch of the early kind of precursors, the Golden Globes. Lily Gladstone in Killers of the Flower Moon has won some of the more recent ones. I think if Emma Stone hadn't won previously for La La Land, if she was also a first-time nominee, I think maybe Emma Stone would get the win here because I do think more people are watching Poor Things. I think people have more fun watching Poor Things. Killers of the Flower Moon is a far more kind of, you know, sad. It's a sadder film. And also, as great as Lily Gladstone is in Killers of the Flower Moon, her character is kind of at the center of what people don't like about the movie, which is, you know, they feel like that character could be written more, could be centered more into the movie. That being said, I think Lily Gladstone wins Best Actress because I do think it is, like I said, I think it's a great performance. I think she makes up for the screenplay's shortcomings when it comes to her character. And Emma Stone has already won an Oscar. Does Emma Stone already need 2 Oscars when you have a great Lily Gladstone performance, equally worthy, equally a tremendous movie that you can also give an Oscar to?
All right. Now, you said that you think it's going to be Robert Downey Jr. for supporting actor. What about supporting actress?
Yes, this one is pretty well wrapped up too. Divine Joy Randolph in The Holdovers. She is terrific in this film. The whole movie is delightful and wonderful and warm, but her character really, like, every time she's on screen, you just want to know more about her, and every time she leaves the screen, you're like, no, I want to follow her a little bit more. It's a great performance. It's a beautiful, funny, emotional performance. I think she easily comes away the winner on Sunday night, and hopefully she's got a lot more coming up. You know, we've got Cillian Murphy and Robert Downey Jr., these kind of big names, and hopefully Lily Gladstone and Divine Joy Randolph find that post-Oscar win bump as well, where we see them in more movies as well.
Now, you haven't mentioned the biggest box office of the year, and that's Barbie. Do you think that it'll come out with any Oscars at all?
I think Barbie's definitely going to win a Oscar. I don't know if it'll win more than a Oscar, but it'll definitely win a Oscar for Best Original Song. Whether that's going to be for I'm Just Ken or What Was I Made For, that's kind of the question. Barbie's biggest competition in that category is Barbie. But I think it's going to be the Billie Eilish song. I think that's the more emotional song. I also, there was that controversy when Margot Robbie and Greta Gerwig didn't get nominated. It was like, oh, but the one thing it got nominated for is going to be I'm Just Ken, you know? So I think people will go with What Was I Made For Best Song. Maybe it'll win Best Costume, but I think Poor Things is going to win there, partly because I think people feel like Poor Things is more of a wholly creative vision, whereas Barbie, for as many costumes are in that movie, it's definitely the most costumes award. But how many of those costumes are based on already made costumes, already made Barbie outfits, you know?
Oh, come on. Give Barbie some credit, would you? You know, you mentioned the song I'm Just Ken. I have a feeling that performance with Ryan Gosling is probably going to be the high point of tonight.
I mean, it was upsetting to me that it was taking so long to announce it. You know, it was kind of the hit of the year. Everyone wants to see it. Ryan Gosling, How is that not the first thing they announced when nominations came out? They should have been like, first things first, I'm Just Ken is getting performed at the Oscars. We just want to get that out there right away. And anyways, here are the nominees for Best, you know, Animated Film. It should be a fun night. And, you know, this is going to be, I should let people know, it starts earlier tonight. And I know it's all weird with the time change and everything today, but it starts at 6 p.m. tonight here in Wisconsin, here in the kind of Midwest time zone. So make sure you have your clock set and that you're ready a little earlier than usual.
Yeah, well, the red carpet show is going to start like at noon or something, I think.
All right, I think it's already begun.
One last question. And I know it's hard to predict surprises, but will you be looking for anything in particular?
I think if there's a surprise in the major categories, maybe Cillian Murphy loses Best Actor to Paul Giamatti. I still think that's Cillian Murphy's to win, though. I don't see the Paul Giamatti upset there. Otherwise, it's kind of a straightforward night in terms of the major categories. I would say, weirdly enough, one of the big surprises might come in the short film categories. The live-action short film, Wes Anderson of the Royal Tenenbaums fame, he has a movie nominated. Everyone thinks that's going to win because it's the biggest name. But I wonder if people are going to be like, nah, that's not how you get your Oscar. You got to win a proper Oscar, Wes Anderson. We're going to give it to a smaller filmmaker for the short film awards. So that's kind of the biggest surprise. Otherwise, it seems pretty clear cut.
Are there any Wisconsin connections at all this year?
We have Mark Ruffalo. We have Mark Ruffalo nominated for Best Supporting Actor. I would love to see him win. I think he's hilarious in Poor Things. But yeah, you're not beating Robert Downey Jr. this year.
Matt Miller, well, nobody can beat you. And, of course, next week we're going to hold your feet to the fire and see how many of these you were correct. And in the meantime, we'll be looking for all of your columns at onmilwaukee.com. Matt Miller, always great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
It's 8:58. Coming up after the news, we're talking with a Celtic tenor. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. And welcome back to Hour 2 of Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. I'm Libby Collins. Oh, you like the song? I love it because it's the Celtic Tenors. Do you know they've sold over 1 million records worldwide? And they are going to be appearing tonight at the Irish Cultural Heritage Center. And joining us is one of the Celtic Tenors, Darrell Simpson. Darrell, good morning to you.
Good morning, Milwaukee.
How do you like Wisconsin?
I absolutely love Wisconsin. I've been fortunate. I've been coming over here from the very early parts of my career, performing at the Irish Fest, of course, every summer, which is the, probably for me the greatest Irish outdoor festival in the world. And you know, it's an amazing legacy that the likes of the late great Ed Ward and his brother Chuck, and of course his late wife Kathy Ward, that really had a vision to, you know, to put Irish music and Irish culture at the forefront here in Wisconsin, and of course in the United States.
Darrell, how did you become one of the Celtic tenors?
Well, believe it or not, the three of us all started together in the world of opera. Way back in 1998, we were all on stage together in the Gaiety Theatre in Dublin, and I guess following on from the great success of the three tenors, of course, Pavarotti, Domingo, and Carreras, the idea kind of formed to start an Irish version, and lo and behold, here we are.
Now, you don't just perform Celtic music. I mean, you do a wide range in your performances.
Yeah, we really do. Obviously, you know, Celtic music is very much part of our DNA, but we like to move into more contemporary things. Everything from Randy Newman to Bob Dylan, and then also the classical and operatic favorites as well, the Nessun Dorma's and that end of things. So there's kind of something for everybody. I think also what surprises people is that we're actually quite a big harmony group. And sometimes when you get three tenors together, it's all about singing the tune. So we do enjoy that. Not that there's any ego competitiveness within tenors, but that's what they always say anyway, isn't it?
Oh, who's the best of the three?
Oh, well, I am, of course.
What's your favorite? What's your favorite song to perform?
You know, it really depends on the occasion. Obviously, coming to up to this time of year, where March Madness for me turns green as far as you know, Irish culture is concerned here in the U.S. I have to say, you know, it's an oldie, but when you do an a cappella of Danny Boy, and you see people absolutely, you know, go to silence to listen to it, there's still something very powerful and poetic about that piece of music, which is, and you know, you might even imply that it's a bit cheesy to be thinking about Danny Boy. It's an old favorite of, you know, your grandmother and grandfather. But there's something, as I say, very poetic about it and very touching.
You know, as we've said, you perform all over the world, and you've been here in the United States a number of times, including Milwaukee and the rest of Wisconsin. But are American audience expectations different from when you perform in Ireland?
I'm always surprised. I mean, Irish music seems to be very much part of the DNA here in the U.S., so it's a very educated audience, from what I see. They know a lot of the songs, they know the stories, and you know, with an Irish group, that's important, that you're also telling the backstory to songs, and having the crack, as we say in Ireland, which is just having good fun, by the way. It's an old Irish Gaelic word, not to be misconstrued. But we have a. I think we have a real appreciation for American audiences, and I think the expectation from us is that we want people to come in and have a great time, and American audiences are good at that. They know how to kick loose and relax and join in and clap and sing, and even you get the odd scream out from the audience too, which is great fun for us.
Now, you're in the middle of your 25th anniversary tour all over the United States, Canada.
Yes.
But I was surprised to see that you have a number of shows in the Netherlands, the last place I would have thought to find people who are Irish.
Well, you're right in that there's not a huge amount of Irish connections to the Netherlands. But there's a really strong love and affinity of Irish music there. I mean, we've been going there for over 20 years. And before us, the Dubliners and Clannad and all these, you know, great Irish groups have been touring there for years and years. Germany's also a big market for Irish and Celtic music as well. And as I say, it never surprises me how music has that effect on people. When people start to get interested, especially in Irish music, there seem to be a love for life with it, which is great.
We're talking with Darrell Simpson. He's one of the Irish, or I'm sorry, one of the Celtic tenors that are appearing tonight at the Irish Cultural Heritage Center. And Darrell, you know, as we said, you've traveled all over the world. Is there any place you have ever been where you were completely flabbergasted that there were fans of Celtic music?
I think, now this is going back maybe 14, 15 years ago, but we did a concert tour in China with the symphony orchestra there, and it was quite amazing that people knew some of the songs. For me, obviously, the cultures are very different, but yet at the same time, the folk music origins of within China, there's a similar idea of passing on the tunes and passing on the culture. So there was it surprised me that they knew some of the songs that we were singing, you know, and obviously it's a very different cultural experience to go to China. But I think also, you know, I would say that about Germany as well. You know, it's amazing singing songs like Red is the Rose, and people singing along with you, even though they speak a different language. You know, their native tongue obviously is different. So it never ceases to amaze me. I mean, we see the power of the Irish arts in the current world. You know, Cillian Murphy's up for an Oscar this evening. The short movie last year won an Oscar. Ireland seems to have plugged itself right into the middle of mainstream culture worldwide.
As you look back at your career, is there anyone in particular, any fans that we might know, celebrities that have reached out to you?
Oh, you see, I don't want to tell tales out of school, but I do know, former President Bill Clinton was a fan, and he actually had said that our Danny Boy was as good as anything that he'd heard. You know, and that was a lovely tribute. I mean, it was a big honour for me. We had the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement, of the Belfast Agreement for Peace, which obviously he was very much a part of, and he was over last year in Hillsborough Castle, along with all the former leaders, prime ministers from England and Ireland and former presidents. You know, so it was an amazing event that actually sometimes politics can work and we can find solutions. So, 25 years of peace is a real strong message, I think, to be sending the world at the minute. And hopefully other nations are looking to see, well, it can be done. So there's that glimmer of hope.
Well, the Celtic tenors are appearing tonight at the Irish Cultural Heritage Center. And Darrell, anybody who's able to see you, I hope they come out. And it's a great way to kick off this celebration of St. Patrick's Day week.
Absolutely. You know, and nobody does it better than the U.S. for St. Patrick's Day, honestly. You put us to shame in Ireland.
Darrell, Can I also just
say well done to the Shamrock Club yesterday for an absolutely amazing parade downtown. All the work and effort, all the volunteers, that was absolutely fantastic. So well done to everybody involved. That was astounding yesterday.
Thanks for that shout out, Darrell Simpson, tonight at the Irish Cultural Heritage Center along with the other Celtic tenors. Thanks for getting up early with us.
Not at all. Thank you so much, and look forward to see some of your listeners tonight at the show.
919 on WTMJ. We have 31 degrees.
The temperatures outside may not be heating up just yet, but Brewers baseball certainly is out in Arizona. The Crew playing two spring training games on Saturday afternoon, and, well, they fell both times. The first game, losing to the Oakland Athletics, this one by a final score of 4-2. Evan McKendry taking the loss for the Crew. Later in the day, the Brewers also fall into the Seattle Mariners, this one by a final of 7-6. Freddy Peralta, who got the start in this one, struggled a bit to say the least, surrendering 5 earned runs and 7 hits over just 2 2/3 innings. The good news for the Brew Crew, they'll be right back out on the field later this afternoon against Colorado to avenge a pair of losses from Saturday. That first pitch is set for later this afternoon at 3:10. Over to college hoops, where the 8th-ranked Marquette Golden Eagles ended their season with a victory, knocking off Xavier by a final of 86-80.
Marquette up 2 with the ball. Joplin backing in against Green. Back out Cam Jones. Wide open 3. Pure. Give David Joplin an assist and a half. What do you think?
Yeah, Joplin was backing down the smaller guy. They had to come give him a look and double. He did the right thing there.
Homer and Tony Smith on the call for 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee as Cam Jones had the bucket there. He also led the team in scoring with 30 points, 5 assists, and 9 rebounds. Not a bad day at the office for Mr. Jones. Up next for Marquette, though, they'll need more of that. They'll get the Big East tournament rolling on Thursday. And lastly, the 41-23 Milwaukee Bucks will look to bounce back after their final second loss to the Lakers on Friday night. Giannis and the Deer will be in search for win number 1 on this West Coast road trip. Currently 0-2, they get set to play the Clippers in Los Angeles this afternoon. Tip-off is set for 2 p.m. Giannis has been listed as a game-time decision. I'm Brandon Snide, WTMJ Sports.
Thanks a lot, Brandon. It's 923, 31 degrees, and coming up last night at the Fiserv Forum, all the Bull Riders were there. And by popular demand, we're going to hear from one of them once again. It's all ahead of Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. Well, last night at Fiserv Forum Teenage Phenomenon, John Krimber proved to a sold-out crowd why he is one of the top bull riders in the U.S. And here's what John told me about why this is such an exciting sport. Joining us is John Krimber, and he's been riding bulls since he was 5 years old. And John, tell me about that. 5 years old, and your parents let you get on top of a bull?
Yes, ma'am. You know, I've always grew up watching my dad, and that's when, you know, I took my first step. I rode sheep when I was 3, and then whenever I got my first bull, that's when it all started.
Do you remember the first time and what you were feeling?
Oh, yeah. The first time, I was really nervous. I remember I got my first new pair of chaps, too, and I was wearing on it all day, and show up to the bull riding, and near this bull, his name was Bulldog, actually. His name was Little Bulldog Bull, and I was pretty excited, and it's like I nodded and I couldn't see anything. I fell off, and I fell off pretty fast. It was really fast, but I was pretty upset. But then it just like kind of driven me to get on more bulls.
When you said it drove you to get on more bulls, what was it? What was that that was in your belly that made you keep wanting to do this?
It's kind of an unexplainable feeling. Like it's just something so addictive that you would just want to keep doing it. And you just have so much love for it that every time you just think about bull riding, it just kind of fires you up, and that's what it feels like.
Now, explain how that works, because you get on the bull, and how do you hold on?
So we use a bull rope. It's called bull rope. It's a little rope with like a cotton body and like a handle, I guess, and a tail, and you just hold on to it.
And how long do you have to remain on it in order to be competitive?
8 seconds, and they judge the bull from 0 to 50 and the rider from 0 to 50. So it's half the bull, half the rider. And your score is kind of based on how the bull performs and how you perform. If the bull kicks really hard and is really intense in the spin, you'll be in the high 80s, high 90s, you know. And if you ride him perfect, you usually get about 2 or 3 points over the bull. So if a bull is a 43-point bull, but you're, let's say, 46, it's going to be 89.
Are the bulls trained to try to knock the rider off?
So they're just bred to bucks. That's what they love to do, and that's what they're bred for, you know. They actually get taken care of better than people. I ain't going to lie to you. They're the real superstars, in my opinion.
All right, so when you get on that bull, and you know this thing is big. It's bigger than you.
A lot bigger.
Bucking. Yeah, I mean, how dangerous is that? I mean, have you ever gotten on one and been really afraid?
A couple times. I'm not really afraid, just kind of like nervous, you know, because a couple times I've been on some pretty big ones, like some abnormally huge ones, and you're like, what? And the kind of thing, like, what am I doing? But it's just part of it, you know, and those are the ones that I actually ride better on, because sometimes people are afraid of those, and that's when you just kind of go out there and have fun a little bit.
That's fun, get riding that people like that. So there's adrenaline when you're doing this. I mean, you're actually having a good time.
Oh, it's an adrenaline rush, and I love that adrenaline rush. I'm having an amazing time. It's so fun. I love it, just riding. And you know, whenever you make a good ride, the crowd's going crazy. You know, it's just something that kind of gets addictive to you.
Have you ever gotten hurt?
Yes, ma'am, I've gotten hurt. The most recent one was last year in May. I broke the bottom of my eye socket. A horn hit me in the eye, and it was a pretty bad deal.
Oh, my gosh. And you're completely healed now, though.
Yes, ma'am. Actually, I had a bull riding that following weekend after I got hurt, so I had to wait to get surgery. I got on that following weekend, and then that next Wednesday, got surgery.
How long do you plan on doing this? Because you're a fairly young man right now, but I mean, is this going to be your life for the next 20, 30 years?
Well, you know, I kind of really haven't thought that far. I'm just really kind of living in the moment. And whenever I feel like I need to stop, that's when I stop. But it's going to be a little while.
And it's 9:30. Coming up in just a couple minutes, we've got news with Adam Roberts right here on WTMJ.
Who let the dogs out?
There was a plethora of people adopting puppies during the pandemic, like the way I did that. Well, unfortunately, many of these pets are now being surrendered to shelters. And joining us is Jennifer Smeya from Haws. And Jen, you know, there were a lot of people who got dogs back when we were all sitting at home, but now you're seeing a lot of surrenders.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I guess fortunately it's not just us. A lot of shelters are seeing this, but it is a trend. And we're finding that people realize that, yeah, dogs do take time. And when things open back up, maybe they didn't have the time they thought they did. And it's sad because while dogs love to spend time with their people, they do need to adjust to being away from them. And that's a lot of times when the behavior problems start. So unfortunately, we're supporting more dogs with behavior issues too.
That's what I was going to say, because when you originally brought your dog into the house, if you were home all the time, you've conditioned them to being there. And then all of a sudden, if you're gone for 40, 45 hours a week, the dog doesn't understand why.
That's correct. Yeah. And it's not that they can't be alone. And I think that's something that a lot of people, bless their hearts, they don't want to leave their animals alone. And there are things like doggy daycares and that, but that doesn't work for everyone. So teaching dogs to be alone for short times initially, and then growing that length of time, it's really not a terrible thing for them. And it's something that needs to be to learn by the dogs. And it can be done. But again, when they are left alone, that's when they start realizing that, oh, I don't know what to do with my time, if they haven't been prepared for that.
Jen, let me ask you this, and this is a more difficult question, but do you think that shelters should have been a little more vigilant when they were adopting these dogs during the pandemic?
That is a really good question. And we did actually have those kind of discussions during the pandemic. We did kind of worry, what's going to happen when all of these dogs are living a normal life again, like the rest of us? And just like anything else with the pandemic, we had no idea what it was going to look like on the other side. We didn't change our adoption policies at Haws during that time. We still were talking to people about training, about getting away, about crate training and doing all those things, hopefully preparing them. But since nobody knew what was going to happen and nobody had a crystal ball, there wasn't a lot that could be done to remind people that life isn't always going to be like this, because actually we didn't know how things were going to change.
So now what should anybody who's thinking about adopting a dog, especially cats are a little easier to take care of, but what should they be asking themselves before they go to Haws or another shelter and bring that pet home?
One of the biggest things is this right for my lifestyle right now? You know, don't be thinking about, oh, in a month or so, I'm going to have a house so I can get the dog now and start getting used to it. No, you've got to think about what your life is today, what it is at this moment. Because if you're thinking in the present, then you may be better ready to adjust to things that happen coming in the future. If you're thinking, okay, what do I do now? What do I do now? You always have to think what's going to be best for that pet. What is going to be the hardest thing for them to deal with when you're not able to be with them? So you've got to think about not just finances and care and that kind of thing, but their enrichment and their psychology, basically, too. It's really interesting that we don't always think of mental enrichment for dogs and cats. We always think about exercise. And yes, that is crucial for them. But you've got to think about the mental enrichment, too. So am I going to be able to spend time with them? Even if I have a work schedule where I'm gone 8 hours a day, which
isn't a problem. That's no time are we going to say you can't do that because you have a job. Absolutely not. But we do want people to remember that when you do have the time, you need to exercise the dog both mentally and physically. And cats need mental stimulation too. So there's a lot of pieces to put together as to how that animal is going to fit into your life. It's not like having a child. Absolutely not. We would never say that. But it is definitely like adding another being to your family and someone who's going to have considerations above and beyond just, you know, the day-to-day, oh, here's some food, here's some water, you're good to go.
Finally, a lot of people, if they've heard this and they're thinking, yeah, I still want a dog, I still want a cat.
Yeah.
What do they do? Because I know you do have pets available online, but that's not all that you have in the shelter.
Oh my gosh, no. Right now, we have just about everything. We almost always have a plethora of dogs and cats. That's never a problem. But we also have small animals, and that's one of the things that we've kind of been steering some families towards. As the kids are starting to think, I would like a pet, we steer them towards a smaller animal that's maybe going to be a little easier to adjust. We always have rabbits and guinea pigs. Those are great pets that, while they do, again, need time and care, they probably are going to need a little less than what a dog or cat would, and they're going to need less hands-on. So they can be fit into the lifestyle a little bit easier, as long as you do your research and learn what you might need to make sure that they've got the right housing and the right food, and we obviously can help with that, too. We've had turtles lately and all sorts of small pets, things like daegus and hamsters
and
all those kind of things.
Hold on. What's a daegu?
I love that we have those because everyone's like, what are you talking about? Daegus are a little South American rodent. They're larger than a hamster, smaller than a guinea pig. And they have really interesting little personalities. They always have to live in groups because they're very social animals.
You have to have more than one or two daegus?
Yes. You get them in the right
daegus
housing,
okay.
And they are so fun to watch. We have a set of three or four of them right now. I think a couple of them might have been adopted. We had a group that was living together in a little colony, and they would run on their running wheels together, and we used to joke that they were having spin class every morning because they would all jump on the wheels together. So yeah, we have all kinds of different pets, from small to large, and it's just a case of think about what the time is that you have. Think about what time you're spending at home. Obviously, weather and our interest in climate can make a difference as to whether or not you're able to make time for a dog and do the walking and that kind of thing, but there's all sorts of options. You know, start small if that's going to work best for you and your family, and work up to something as you get more used to the time that it takes to have a pet in your life.
Biggest pet you've ever had come into Haws?
We have had Great Danes come in that were 150, 175 pounds. We also have had pot-bellied pigs, which maybe start small, but they definitely live up to their name. We have had 200-pounders that people have actually had living in their homes with them that they had to surrender.
It's an amazing place. You do great work at Haws, Jen. And if anybody out there wants to find out what you've got, and it could be a pot-bellied pig, who knows, what do we need to do?
Log on to our website, hawspets.org. That's HAWSPETS.org, and click on the adopt link and see what we have available. Learn how the adoption procedures work. You can also see about fostering. If you're not ready to commit 100%, you can foster an animal for a while, and you can learn all about how things work through our shelter at Haws.
Coming up next on WTMJ, it's Brandon Stein in sports, and it's 9:44 on WTMJ.
After falling to the Lakers in the final seconds on Friday night, the Milwaukee Bucks will look to get back into the win column, and for the first time on this road trip. And the good news is they don't have to go far to try and do so. Damian Lillard and the Bucks are staying in LA as they get set to play the Clippers later this afternoon. Tip-off is set for 2 p.m. Coverage will begin right here on WTMJ starting at 1:30. Giannis has been listed as a game-time decision. However, Chris Middleton has already been ruled out for today's game with the sprained ankle. From LA to Phoenix, Arizona, as the Milwaukee Brewers continued on with their spring training Saturday afternoon. The Crew played a set of split squad games, losing both. The Brewers fell to Oakland in game one by a final score of 4-2, and also dropped their second game, this one to Seattle, by a final of 7-6. Freddie Peralta getting the start in that one. He gave up 5 earned runs over just 2 2/3 innings. Milwaukee will be back out on the field later this afternoon as they get set to play Colorado. That first pitch all set for 3:10. And lastly, from a pair of losing efforts on the baseball diamond by the Brewers, well, to a winner on the court, as the 8th-ranked Marquette Golden Eagles capped off their regular season with a win on the road, knocking off Xavier by a final of 86-80.
Oso under the basket. He's got the reverse layup. Good! Counted it a foul. Oh, so big. Oh, so special. And oh, so easy. He'll try the three-point play from the free throw line. More?
Homer and Tony Smith with the call on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Oso Iguodaro with the and one there. He finished the night with 24 points. And Cam Jones led the way with 30. Up next for the 8th-ranked Golden Eagles is the Big East Tournament play, which will get started on Thursday. I'm Brandon Snide, WTMJ Sports.
Thanks a lot, Brandon. It's going to be sunny and breezy today. We're going to get up to 46 degrees and clear tonight down to 30. Tomorrow, pretty nice, sunny, breezy, mild, 61 for a high. On Tuesday, it looks like we've got a few clouds, but it's still going to be very pleasant with 64. And then cooling down just a tad on Wednesday when it's mainly cloudy, high of 53, and as you go further inland, about 60. Right now, Elkhart Lake has 31. Muskego is at 32. Lake Geneva has 32, and we have 32 degrees at WTMJ at 949.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee from the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
Oh, you know, you get that phone call, or maybe you get the email, and it says they're from a certain business. Well, which are the businesses that are most reported? We've got Lisa Schiller here from the Better Business Bureau serving all of Wisconsin. And Lisa, you've got all of this list according to the Business Bureau's scam tracker, and tell us what the most impersonated businesses are.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Let's start with number 10 and work our way backwards to number one. So the number 10 most impersonated organization or business reported to our BBB scam tracker in all of 2023 was McAfee. And we know that that name is common because it's used in one of the most common scams, and that is computer tech scams. You know, scammers love to pretend that they are somebody that they are not. And McAfee is one of those well-known, well-established, reputable names that people will trust.
Okay, and what's number 9 and 8 and 7?
Number 9 was Facebook. Number 8 was Walmart. Its name is used so commonly in schemes and scams. Number 7 was Microsoft, again, used in a lot of computer tech scams, with number 6 being PayPal. PayPal, very commonly used in impersonation scams. That stayed the same as it was the year prior. PayPal coming in at number 6.
All right, and speaking of some of those tech-type scams, you've got number 5 and number 4, and they're pretty closely related.
You're exactly right. So there we go again. Norton at number 5 and Geek Squad at number 4. And that just goes to show how very common these computer tech scams are. And, you know, they work. So scammers continue to use them. They continue to impersonate well-known names that everybody knows.
Do most of these impersonations come through emails?
You know, I would say a great majority of them come through emails, probably followed by telephone. A lot of these computer tech scams come usually either through phone or pop-up ads.
Now, finally, let's look at the top 3 most impersonated business according to Scam Tracker. What's number 3, Lisa?
Number 3 is the same as it was the year prior, and that is Publishers Clearing House. We're all familiar with that name. It really is a legitimate company. They've been around decades and decades. They are located in upstate New York. They really do give out prizes. However, scammers love to use their name in prize schemes. And so Poor Publishers Clearinghouse, or PCH as it's known as well, came in at number 3. Number 2 is Amazon. So that dropped a point. The year prior, we saw Amazon coming in at number 1. And, you know, that wasn't a surprise because so many people are still shopping online and utilizing Amazon to do so.
And finally, Lisa, tell us what the number 1 most impersonated business is according to the Better Business Bureau's scam tracker.
The number 1 was U.S. Postal Service, or USPS. And in fact, I'm still seeing that reported. I just saw that reported a couple times today. Usually consumers are letting us know that they've received a text message or an email letting them know that they have a package to pick up. But in order to do so, they need to verify personal information. So that's the typical scam that we see using the United States Postal Service's name, usually in regard to those package deliveries.
And if we want to check out Scam Tracker, what do we need to do?
Simply go to bbb.org/scamtracker or go to bbb.org, click the hamburger menu and scroll down to Scam Tracker. It's a great online tool. It'll allow you to check out scams that are being reported and also report scams yourself.
Lisa Schiller from the Better Business Bureau. Always great to have you here.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
It's 9:56. Just a reminder to join Wisconsin Afternoon host John McCurran, Annex Wealth Management President and CEO Dave Spano, as they answer those hard-hitting questions about debt. They're going to provide insight to help ease your concerns. It's a free webinar taking place this Tuesday, March 12th at 10 a.m. So easy to register. All you have to do is text the word WEB, W-E-B, to the WTMJ talk and text line at 855-616-1620, and you can sign up and be part of it. All right, we've got a busy day here on WTMJ because coming up after the news with Adam Robert, Brian and David Wickard are going to be talking about the employment situation report and how that affects the housing market. And that's all on the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show. Then after that, I come back at 11 o'clock when I talk with Waukesha author and writing coach Kathy Giorgio. She is fascinating. If you've ever thought you could write a book, she is a writing coach who tells you how. And also, she is going to share her experiences of what has inspired her to get published, literally dozens of books. And so she's got a lot of advice for you as an aspiring writer. That's all this morning on WTMJ Conversations at 11 o'clock.